Scissors, 1965. Artist unknown. Paint on drywall. In what is no doubt an unsurprising fact to you at this point, the mural before you materialized here in the middle of the night. At first glance, one might assume that Roy Lichtenstein was responsible for this painting. It certainly bears a striking resemblance to the comic book aesthetic present in much of his work. And it appeared at the estate during the height of the pop art movement, of which Lichtenstein was a central figure. Yet he denied any involvement in the creation of this piece. Not that our staff ever truly suspected such a thing. Sneaking onto the grounds and painting a floor-to-ceiling mural in a single night didn't really seem in his character. Nor would it have been necessary. Inspired by this very incident, Annabelle Godfrey personally invited him to pick a wall if he ever felt so inclined to contribute a mural to the estate. But back to the image itself. Despite its location in a slightly out-of-the-way part of the gallery, its striking color combination of black, white, and bright yellow makes it hard to miss. In fact, this spot was so out of the way that a door to a supply closet used to exist at the center of what is now the mural. But by all accounts, both the door and the room it led to have vanished without a trace. The black and white paint makes up the form of a human figure. Their narrowed gaze and furrowed brow is certainly enough to stop you in your tracks if you happen to meet their eye. Could that be what brought you here to study it? The yellow paint fills the background behind the figure, as well as the pair of scissors they clutch in their fist. This sunny hue creates an odd contrast against the stormy, some might say furious, expression on the person's face, highlighting it, as it were. Of course, this assumes that someone created it at all, that intention was even a factor, and if it was, that we are capable of comprehending it. Now, you may have noticed something strange in the time that you've stood here. Something subtle, perhaps. Something you can't quite put your finger on. Here's a hint. Close your eyes, or otherwise avert your gaze from the mural. It need only be for a moment. Do you see it now? If not, close your eyes again. But before you do, look at the scissors in the person's hand. Based on the sudden shift in your GPS location, I assume that you saw it. That you saw the person holding the scissors higher up than you'd noticed before. Still clutching them tightly, but now wielding them above their shoulder. Like a dagger they're about to drive down into... something. Don't worry, there's a built-in viewing timer for this piece, activated by a motion sensor whenever a patron steps close to the mural. An alarm would sound if you had lingered too long in front of it. Oddly enough, it is only ever guests and staff who trigger the sensor, never the painted figure as they move the scissors across the wall. As they wait for someone to stand a little too close, for a little too long. Good news, Godfrey patrons! We are thrilled to report that, in a surprisingly sudden turn of events, the gift shop is once again ready for business. And not only have we confirmed that Betsy the doll has left the area, but the recently implemented barter system has ended. According to preliminary witness reports, Betsy watched a patron attempt to purchase a doll. But when that person was rebuffed for having nothing equitable to trade for it, a terrifying change came over Betsy's supposedly unmoving porcelain face. And in a sudden, blinding flash, all the lights in the vicinity surged and went out, plunging the area into a deep and true darkness. This lasted only a moment before the lights kicked back on, the ones whose light bulbs had not shattered anyway. When they did, Betsy was nowhere to be found, and every cash drawer, card reader, and inventory record was suddenly functional again. It turns out the advice to turn it off, then on again, applies to errant gift shops as well as stubborn technological devices. But on a more serious note, Betsy's current whereabouts are unknown, so please move through the estate with even more caution than normal, and alert a staff member if you hear any high-pitched giggling. Thank you. Persephone, 1957. J. DeFeo. Oil, graphite, charcoal on paper, mounted on canvas. Above all others, Persephone knows that roots are meant to grow, and so she let hers dig deep. This goddess of spring, with her dark roots descending into the darkly rich soil, reaching out, searching, until she found a new domain entirely. The underworld, yes. Any version of her story will tell you that much. But also in hearts and minds across generations. For chances are, you've heard of her, this queen of light and dark. This duality she knows well, too. Her first world, that of the living and the green, straddles it, feeding both from the sun and the twisting, buried roots beneath the earth, where light is nothing but a distant dream. From this perspective, her ascension as Queen of the Dead seems, maybe not destined, but fitting. Many iterations of her story detail her journey there, some happy, others not. But in each recounting of this tale, even as it shifts with every storyteller into something not quite what it was before, her roots grow deeper still in those hearts and minds. And all the while, at her very core, she remains herself. It is telling that DeFeo depicts her Persephone not as an anthropomorphized figure, but as densely concentrated dark strands that form something like a tree trunk. These individual, thin tendrils flare out slightly towards the bottom of the image. Roots, seeking to grow and discover, as is their nature. The muted color palette also speaks to a more metaphorical interpretation of the Greek goddess. The darkness of the central figure, contrasted against a background the color of wheat, encapsulates the two halves of her reality. What a thing to have to hold within you all at once, the power of life and death, to be the fixed point that bridges them and holds all of it together. But that sentiment, that of holding things in place, also makes DeFeo's root-like imagery an apt choice. For the roots of growing things, from the tallest tree to the most humble wildflower, protect the earth when other, harsher forces would have it erode away. They hold the world together, as it were, thanks to that alchemy of sun and dark soil that allows them to grow. Her roots secure the world we know, and the one we can never know, linking them together. And whether you believe the tales or not, it's a comforting notion, nevertheless, that in the next unknown and unknowable world, a familiar presence waits, even if she's only a story. For those have deep roots too.
Thank you for listening to the Godfrey Audio Guide. This episode was written, produced, and performed by Nicole Knutson, with sound design and editing by James Ferrero. It was produced on unceded Tongva and Chumash territory. Enjoying your trip to the estate? Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And consider telling a friend about us, or two, or three, or everyone you know. For information on episode transcripts, ways to support the show, and where to follow us online, please visit our website, thegodfreyaudioguide.com. Until next time, friends, see you back at the museum.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.